One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hey guys, I want to remind you about the show I'm doing Saturday, April 10th. It's at 6:30 p.m. specific time. I'm doing a live Dumb People Town with Dan Van Kirk and the Sklar Brothers. It's the Honey Dumb. There is a limited edition poster available. Proceeds going to the charity I work with, Outreach Through the Arts, with At-Risk Youth and the Santa Monica Police Department. All four of us are going to sign it. We're going to be highlighting some dumbass lowlights, okay? Tickets and posters are available at danielvankirk.com, or you can search Dumb People Town on Eventbrite. This episode of The Honeydew is brought to you by Upstart, Raycon, MeUndies, and Skillshare. More on that later. Let's get into the do.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to the Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it in the Night Pants Studios. I am Ryan Sickler, ryansickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all social media. Thank you for your support. The YouTube community continues to grow. Please subscribe. You're getting audio on Monday, video on Tuesday. And if you'd like another episode a week, my Patreon is the Honeydew with y'all, where I'm highlighting the lowlights with y'all. And y'all have some fucking stories. I'm speechless for once. The stories I am hearing and getting back, I knew we would get wild stuff, but there's just no way to predict what you guys are bringing. So look, it's $5 a month. I know that's a lot of money for people right now, but if you're in for the long haul, you can sign up for a year. You'll get over a month of free episodes. All right. Santa Monica Music Center, where I record here, I want to tell you about the program we're doing, Outreach Through the Arts, with the At-Risk Youth and the Santa Monica Police Department. I'm just very excited about it. We're teaching kids about podcasting, cameras, everything that goes into a free podcast that isn't free to bring out there for you guys to shit all over every week in the comment section. So very excited to work with these kids. You'll be hearing me talk more about that. Want to promote it. And if you or someone you know is looking to take music lessons, Santa Monica Music .com, you use the code Honeydew, they'll give you a free lesson when you sign up for a package. All right, that's it. That's the biz. We're over here highlighting the lowlights. These are the stories behind the storytellers, as I always say. Today's guest is back. I'm very excited to have the one and only Dr. Drew, y'all.
Yeah,
welcome
buddy.
Back to the Honeydew.
Speaking
buddy.
Of lowlights, you're here. I am.
Look.
And I love that they shit all over you, too.
All over. I did one episode, which we're not going to talk about COVID today. We did one episode when I actually had it.
Yeah.
Did one episode with Giannis Pappas about his experience and mine and the tale of two coronas about how he almost died.
Yeah.
And we were relative. I still don't have my smell or anything.
What are they going to shit on? What's the problem?
They're sick of hearing about it. And I was like, this is just our story. Mm. Like, this is what happened.
I had it too. So let's yeah. Now that you and I get into it,
right.
Let's share our stories together. You kindly came on After Dark, my show, and talked about this stuff. So
listen, man, I've looked up to you for so long. It's a pleasure to sit across from you. And at any point.
You losing weight?
Yeah, I'm eating better right now, trying to do better by myself. I have a five-phase plan when I became a single dad, and unfortunately, health should have been at the top, but mental health was more than physical. I'd rather, at this point in my life, Dr. Drew, I'm not trying to work on my abs or anything. I'm trying to work on me.
Good.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, you started therapy after the first time
You got me on to the – I had this real quick. Promote everything you'd like first, please.
Go to Dr. F. It's all at drdrew.com. Just go to drdrew.com. It's all there.
So my daughter almost got hit by a car, and it unleashed this anxiety that apparently had just been lying dormant for decades that I didn't even know was in there building or, you know, working its way up. And that made me just, in a sense, lose it. And two things that stood out were I became incredibly scared of heights. And I mean realistic. In a plane, that looks cartoonish to me. But three, four stories
anxiety can generalize. It can start to move into other areas and sort of amplify other phobias and things.
So. It was that and it was flying. It wasn't even the landing. It was the takeoff. Yeah, Once we were up, we're good.
Yeah.
And it got to me. And you said that when you had reconnected with your father, some things like that had started to shift for you is what you had told me.
In my therapy, in therapy. But I had fear of flying before. I had horrible anxiety disorder for a long time.
I mean, you fly nonstop. Well, how did you get over it?
For a while there, it was bad. And it's one of these things. I'll tell you what happened. The way fear of flying goes, it's usually somebody who doesn't have it, and then it kind of comes on, and then it goes away very suddenly.
Okay, good.
And you're ready for it?
I'm ready to turn it away.
And I had to fly – we did some crazy promotion back when Ricky Rackman was my co-host on Love Line years ago.
Ricky Rackman,
And he was
Headbangers Ball, right?
That's right. He was going to get married in Las Vegas. He was my partner on the show at the time. And Julio Iglesias was going to be the officiator. And so he sent his plane to go home. We got on his plane. And it was like flying on a magic car. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And it was so comfortable. And I could talk to the pilot. And I could
see what's going on.
I was able to fly without anxiety. And so my head just went, oh, you can do this and don't have to be in a state. It's possible to – it was almost like a learning. Like the anxiety just shut off. And that was it. I got over it.
Tom Segura took me. So what was bad? What would it be? What would
taking off and landing were terrible. And so it got generated. I didn't want to talk about it because it's going to make you worse.
But it's okay.
People dropped a few things here and there. Like I remember in college, a friend of mine was going, "Do you ever look out the plane window and see how those wings look so flimsy?" That was kind of thinking. Or I was sitting next to a pilot once. Get this all in college. And the guy goes, "Yeah, this. Once you get up, you're fine. But getting 40 tons off the ground, that's dangerous." And I'm like, "Oh, great!" It's like
I used to love the feeling of shooting down that runway and taking off. It felt like a rock star.
I do now.
And when Segura took me on, we were on this private. See, I'm already like we were on this private jet that was coming back from Nebraska in a snowstorm. I'm like, here we go, fucking Richie Valens, here it comes. And he's like, well, we have to upgrade to a bigger jet that can handle this. And I'm like, oh, can we just – so we get on the thing and we take off. And you're right. It felt like this just magic carpet, lift up and go. Yeah. And then I said, why? I'm talking to the pilot. So I'm like, where's the – why is this so smooth? And they said, we fly above the turbulence. Yeah. I'm like, huh? They're like, we fly 10,000 feet above commercial airlines. I'm like, there's nothing up here? Like, nothing. And that did it.
And it's faster.
I was like, we zoomed, and I was like, okay. So
can do it. It's like you manage your anxiety, and it goes away. It dissipates. It sort of extinguishes. But you know, my anxiety was not connecting with my father, which is an interesting thing you said there.
I thought it was
– you'll like this, Dr. Freud. It was connecting with my feelings. And I'm wondering if your thing is maybe more connecting with father, which is kind of interesting. But mine,
sure.
And so I was distanced from my feelings, and all I could feel was anxiety. And I got connected up, and that was with my work.
Man, you changed me because you sent me to a therapist. You said, "Have you ever done EMDR?" And you said you would know. And I said, "No, I haven't done that." You've met Lana.
Yeah.
She goes all to the same person.
It's great.
Several people I know do, as a matter of fact.
Same therapist, yeah.
Yeah. She is great. Mm-hmm. And I never, you know, I'm blown away by the amount of people who've messaged me and said, "I've started therapy because your show." I've had a couple professors say that this is required listening now. Wow. And I'm like, whoa, I am beyond flattered and just – I love it. It makes me feel so good.
Part of it is that you know, if you can do it, I mean this in a most positive way possible. If you can do it, anybody can do it.
You're right.
But not in the sense that it's hard to do, but in the sense that you're the guy that everyone expects just sort of muscle through and not get into this stuff. And here, look at all the benefit you've derived from it.
I can't get over it. Yeah. I never set out to do – I didn't even know there were people that outside of my family and close friends that would laugh at their trauma and take real deep, dark shots at it. You know, I say all the time, one day a friend of mine just just out of nowhere is like, hey, Ryan, your dad's still dead, right? And it fucking still makes me – like everything that's going on in that makes me laugh so hard. Still dead. So one thing I have not been able to do, though, in my life, and I know why – well, I shouldn't say I know why, but I know where it originates – is to have a successful relationship. So not only do you have a successful marriage, you guys are banging it out like, what, 3-4 nights a week?
Yeah. Or,
I mean, it's
– it's crazy.
And you've been together for how long?
Married for 30. Together, more like 38. Insane.
Because I tell this story about this older black guy named John Lewis that I worked with at UPS. Shout out to UPS Baltimore Hub Primary 1 Joe Avenue. And he took me under his wing and trained me a little bit. And just he was Reggie Lewis's uncle from the Celtics who had passed away. And I'm enamored by this guy because he's just an older black guy. And anytime an older black man would talk to me, I'm listening to everything they have to fucking say. Yeah. I didn't grow up with a dad after 16. I'm looking for knowledge in any nook and cranny I can get it. And this guy's training me on the job. And we're talking one night and he tells me he's married.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Married like you 30 years or whatever, and it's Friday night, 4 in the morning. He's going to go home, and he's like, I'm going to fuck my wife. And he said it with – and I was like, God.
With energy.
Yeah, a lot of
with
energy.
Purpose.
At 4 in the morning. And I'm like, what's the secret? And he said, Ryan, you got to make that pussy pop. And he screamed, and I was like, oh, the secret to a longevity is pussy popping. So are you? What's your version of pussy popping, you know, Dr. Drew? What is your secret?
You got to want to pop the pussy. That's my secret.
You
understand?
Yes,
If you
and he did. And he was
really, 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 really wanted to at the beginning. If that's something like in you, then it's probably going to stay there. It's probably going to stay with you.
So if you feel that if that passion is there at the beginning, you can sustain that.
Yeah, really has got to be there, though. I think it's very important. I'm not saying that all relationships have to have that, but it's a very steady glue that if you've got really helps.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you're talking about both partners. It can't be one person wants one and one's like, I'll just do it.
But there's many, many versions of that, right? Some the receptive partner might like the passion coming from another person and feel gratified by it. And her passion may respond to it. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to come equally in the same way from both people,
right.
But it does have to fit together with the same intensity. If that makes sense.
It does. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, I mean, look, my parents had a failed marriage and I'm sort of was in the same pattern. My dad and mom split. They got back together and tried it again. So did I. Well, for the longest time, it's always been in any relationship I've been in. It's like, oh, we're not a good fit together. But I shouldn't say I never. I got there quicker than most people. I was like, man, you're the common denominator in all your bullshit. I realized that I'm the common denominator in all of my relationships, and I realized I haven't had success in any long-term relationship, not one. And sometimes I'm certainly at fault for doing dumb shit. I've cheated before, or I've just neglected, or whatever it's been. But I wanted to learn what I'm bringing to the table, and I'm learning what I'm bringing to the table. And now I practice so much more, you know, gratitude and being present. And I learned that from being a parent too. Like, hey, man, you got to do that over here too.
Yeah, it makes
like,
a big difference.
Yeah, it's a huge difference. And also just, you know, helping out with these kids, like all these things, ways I can help other people is beneficial. I see some of them in me. You know, I'm like, man, I wish I would have had like Alana in my life when I was 16 or 17.
Right.
I feel like I've been stunted in a way. I say this. My father died at 16. My mom's gone. I feel like it's stunted me 10 years in mom's certain gone. Aspects. Mom split the family early on. She
didn't just, you go back and talk to her since?
I mean, when I turned 40, yeah, 41, yeah. yeah. But not since 18, you know. But where was I saying?
Well, all the shit you brought.
Yeah, everything yeah. I've brought to it yeah. comes from these things.
Yeah,
of course. And I... You know, it goes all the way back to the beginning, and I feel these traumas, and I learned that, like, the end of a breakup is you're feeling something you've been conditioned. I'm feeling these feelings of funerals and all these other things again are coming back, mm-hmm. and it's just so overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And then having a daughter definitely calmed me down.
Like, oh, calmed you down?
Yeah, I knew it would. I hoped I had a daughter because I grew up with brothers. Everyone's aggressive. It's all testosterone. Mm-hmm. Give me something a little different, and she does. She makes me look at things.
So you're saying
such
men
a different
and women are
way.
Different? How dare you? Cancel this guy.
Cancel
Sickler
cancel
right
Thank
now
you for my daughter. So, but I've never, you know, I feel like I'm good at a lot of things. I feel like I don't know. Parenting's a long term game. I'm good. I say it all the time. Right now, I'm doing a good job now.
Yeah.
I know in 2 years I can fuck up and do
well,
something.
Well, it
dumb.
Also changes too yeah. at each developmental stage. It's a whole different task.
So right now is good. I'm a good. I feel
just
like
just learn to bite
comedian.
A hole in your goddamn lip.
Yeah,
that's something
it.
You got to learn.
And that's the real thing. I say all the time. I'm a smart ass by nature, and then a professional comedian on top of it. To shut my fucking mouth yeah. is so hard. And
it's
I'm
important.
I'm
it's an important skill.
It is. Yeah. It's and I've learned to listen and not be so reactive. I learned the more you shut up and let someone talk, the more they'll fucking say and give to you.
Yeah.
I was so quick to want to have everything right away and get resolved. And now I realize that most of the time, if you sit, they'll tell you everything and then the shit will take care of itself. It's taken me a long time. Oh, I was saying it stunted me by 10 years. That's
oh,
what
yeah.
I was saying.
Yeah.
Emotionally, financial. I didn't know anything about money. Mm-hmm. I just knew save it, spend it. I didn't know how to make my money work for me. Mm-hmm. And all hell, I didn't even have it to give to make it work right. for me, you know? Right. And, but as far as street smarts and hustle and grind, I feel like I'm fine on that. I'm mm-hmm. here on that. But learning about relationships, money, how to do this, how to do that, I'm behind.
Yeah, and the more subtle stuff.
Yeah.
Well, almost nothing is more complicated than human relationships, which is why when people start talking about polyamory and that stuff, I just keep saying, look. There are armies of people out there to try to help two people have a good relationship.
You
bring another one in, my head comes off. It's like I can't keep it all straight. It's too much.
It is too much. This circle of people I've been putting around me professionally and personally has been nothing but positive. It's taken a while to get that – to cut those anchors off the ship and let that shit go. But I see the more and more I surround myself with good people – more and more good things are happening.
Well, of course, right?
Right.
That's another good axiom. Just anybody that's listening, take that one home. Put that one in the bank. That's a good one.
It's taken me a while. You know, mm-hmm. this person I feel sorry for. We're still talking to this guy about he's still in the same place since high school. Like, you got to go, bro. You're not even working on yourself. If you don't work on yourself, you don't bring anything to the table, I can't fuck with you anymore.
It is really frustrating and sad to have to let
I'm
people
almost
go like
50.
That. That makes me crazy.
Right?
But, yeah. I hate that.
Let's take a quick break and tell you about our first sponsor, Upstart. If you have multiple credit cards, you know that tracking multiple balances, due dates, and website logins can be stressful. Upstart makes things simple with one monthly payment in one place. Upstart is the fast and easy way to get a personal loan to pay off your debt all online. Whether it's paying off credit cards, whether you're consolidating higher interest debt, or you're funding personal expenses, over 500,000 people have used Upstart to get a simple fixed monthly payment. I know a lot of you out there have. That's why they keep coming back because it works. You guys have hit me up and I'm so glad that it's working out for you. It's saving you money and time. And Upstart will find smarter rates with trusted partners because they assess more than just your credit score. With a 5-minute online rate check, you can see your rate upfront for loans from $1,000 to $50,000. You can get approved the same day and you can receive funds as fast as one business day. If debt is taking over your life, it's time to get a fresh start with Upstart. Find out how Upstart can lower your monthly payments today when you go to upstart.com/honeydew. That's upstart.com/honeydew. Don't forget to use our URL to let them know we sent you. Loan amounts will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Go to upstart.com/honeydew. Our next sponsor is Raycon. Now, I don't know about you, but I feel like I'm always looking at a screen now more than ever, especially. And whether you're an avid news watcher or if you're in serious need of a distraction, unplugging yourself is easier said than done. One of my favorite ways to rest my eyes and still get the content I'm itching for is by putting in my Raycon wireless earbuds and listening to something great like The Honeydew. Whether you're catching up on your favorite news podcast, bringing an audiobook, or powering through your workout with a pumped up playlist, a pair of Raycons in your ears can make all the difference. They've been sponsoring us for a while. And again, thank you guys for supporting Raycons. They're great. A bunch of you have hit me up about them. I'm telling you, they're affordable. They sound amazing. I use them all the time. Back when I was on the road, I only used Raycons to travel. Can't wait to get back out there and do it again. If I'm walking, exercising, even in here just working around the office, boom, Raycons all day. There's no dangling wires or stems to get in your way here. And Raycons come in a range of stylish colorways, but also with a comfortable in-ear fit for a more discreet look. Raycons are built to perform anywhere and anytime with water and sweat resistant construction and Bluetooth that pairs quickly and seamlessly. And with enough battery life for 6 hours of playtime, you can unplug for a while. And the best part, Raycon makes great sound accessible to everyone with wireless earbuds starting at half the price of other premium audio brands. Raycon is offering 15% off all their products for my listeners. And here's what you got to do to get it. Go to buyraycon.com/honeydew. That's it. You'll get 15% off your entire Raycon order. So feel free to grab a pair and a spare. That's 15% off at buyraycon.com/honeydew. Buyraycon.com/honeydew. Now, let's get back to the dew. So what do you attribute? Talk to me about some things. Did your parents, I can't remember, were they together?
Yeah, and so was my wife.
Were they in love or did they stay together?
They stayed together. Okay. Well, I couldn't tell. They were so emotionally sort of not there for me that I don't know what to call it. They probably wanted to be together, I think. But I wouldn't say that it was a bad enough relationship that I used to think to myself, I used to fear marriage because I was like, well, when it comes to you have your fun, you work, you get married, then you die. That was sort right, of how, yeah. how I saw it. Like there was no enjoyment coming after marriage. And I was shocked to find it otherwise, really surprised. But yeah, they did not have like what I would call a healthy relationship.
So,
but they stayed together, and so did my wife and her parents.
Okay,
and I think that script of the parents staying together did have an influence on us. It makes you not consider divorce when trouble hits. You it's not on the table. You just, all right, how are we going to get through this? How are we going to deal with this? What's going on? What's the problem? Yeah, and you don't think, you know, if it's something catastrophic, you may say it or talk about it, but it's not really on the table. Mm-hmm. It would take a lot to put that on the table.
So did that inspire you to want to have a healthy relationship where you want to stay together? I mean, is that something you openly discuss or is it just something that's inherent in your relationship?
What we discuss is more about the importance of building family and being a family and having that. Well, there's two things that young people don't think about when you get married. You're not just building a relationship. You're building a life together. It's a life. And if you have children, you're building a foundation for your children's lives as well as the part of the sort of the central point of this thing we call family. And people don't like do a lot of family building these days. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
And that's sort of weird. I mean, that's what humans are sort of designed for is to have these extended family systems that support each other.
Yeah, I just had a conversation with my brother about that. Like, yo, you remember what we come from. You remember how we grew up. Let's make sure everybody's talking and checking in because if something happens to us, our kids are going to need to be – they're stuck here.
Right.
Let them know each other.
Yeah.
So, all right, you're the most busiest person on the damn planet. You have three kids. Where do you guys find time? How do you carve it out throughout your relationship? Let's talk about early years. Where are you finding it?
For the relationship?
Yeah. Where are you finding time to have sex and one-on-one time with
you? We did not have a lot. But at the beginning, I was working 20 hours a day, seven days a week. It was, I don't know how my wife put up with it, frankly. She's a very independent person and she was very quickly consumed with babies, right? We had triplets. And so her thing was 20 hours a day too. So we went into survival mode for about 10 years.
Ten.
Maybe eight years.
Okay, away. That's
well,
good.
Five for sure. It's a full survival mode. And 8 to 10. And at the end, and I started therapy in there when the kids were about 1, 2.
Now why? Why did you start it?
Well, we had a child that needed a brain surgery. Okay. We had a very traumatic experience. He's now in law school and killing it and stuff. So it all turned out fine. But it was very scary that went down. And my anxiety disorder became insane. I guess I was nuts to deal with. And I remember Susan called me at work one day. I was at the psychiatric hospital and she goes, hey, you know, you need to see a therapist. And she called to tell me that. And I thought, well, that's kind of interesting. And I was busy as F and I was running around. I go, I know. I really, it would help me with my work. I'm going to do that one day. She goes, hey, you need to do it. And it literally sent a chill down my spine. Wow. I got the message. She's like, do it or else, because you're not. This is not working for me. This sort of was in the message, like you're losing it. It's hard to be around. I mean, it was all so much packed into that. Hey, call somebody, and I put the phone down. Called somebody immediately, and best thing I ever did.
And what? So three kids. Nonstop hours. How do you do it now then? Where are
now
you making time?
Now it's great. Now we work together. We travel together. I mean, she's producing all of my digital stuff and she has really great – she's really good at it and she has purpose and feels good about it.
So it hasn't always been this way.
We're together all the time now.
Now
almost to the point where she's like, eh. It's like maybe a little too much. Don't you want to go have dinner with Ryan tonight with Corolla or something? But it's been great, I think. And so, you know, I feel like we're in a weird way, maybe closer than ever in a weird way.
Really?
Yeah. And that's after 30 years. It's weird.
What do you think?
Crazy.
You're,
yeah, it doesn't feel like
that's insane. 30 years.
It's all like compressed. I mean, in our heads, and we do talk about this. We're kind of experiencing time in the same way. We both feel like we're 24. You know, we're just, you know, same as where we were 26, 28, whatever. Same, which is weird and good, nice, lovely, you know, to have that renewing.
What would you, if you're being honest about yourself, what would you say your weaknesses are?
My weaknesses, I got lots of them. The anxiety stuff is always bad. Although I've compensated for this, you'll hear this from other people who you don't want to, doesn't seem like this is true. I am very shy. I'm super shy. If I don't have a purpose in what I'm doing, I just completely withdraw.
I get that.
Okay, good.
I'm not a chatty Cathy. I've never been
there. It's worse than that. I can't walk in a room and feel comfortable.
Oh, really?
Unless I have something to do when I even walk in. I at one point I feel like have to work at rigorous honesty. I mean, I am rigorously honest. I had a tendency to exaggerate. And my wife used to call me out on it. And now I always try to live by – and I didn't always do this. I want to live by Kant's moral imperative, you know, act as though all of your actions are a moral principle. In other words, whether somebody sees you or not, act as though somebody's looking at you and judging you no matter what.
I mean, these days, everyone's got you on camera. Just do it.
It's the right thing. It's being a good person.
What's the quote I read the other day in somebody's toilet? Character is doing something for someone when no one's watching.
Exactly.
Something
and
like
that I rigorously live by that.
Okay.
And honesty is part of that too. And over time it becomes very easy, very fast. Interestingly, once you adopt that as your just ironclad strategy, it becomes habit. You know, I do listen to a lot of podcasts on virtue philosophy and stuff, and they always talk about, you know, what do you do if you find a wallet full of money? I go, I don't care. I would find the guy. I would give it back. I don't care. I don't care. What if it's $1 million? Like, I'd find the money and give it back. I'd do it. I would do it. It's like, but those are the kinds of thought experiments you got to do with yourself. And, you know, so when these things happen, you've got to be. And Stoic philosophy has helped me with that too. Do you ever talk to Ryan Holiday?
No.
Good guy. He might come in. That's going to be coming.
All right.
Okay. Other weaknesses I've got. I am actually not sturdy physically and probably not emotionally either.
What do you mean?
I'm COVID destroyed me. I was destroyed. And I'm still
it's walking up these stairs still tired.
Yeah. I'm not crazy. Sturdy. I wish I could be a Navy SEAL but I would have been out quick because I just am not that. Genetically, I'm not sturdy. And so I have to work at pushing myself, which I find, again, also becomes really easy after you've done it for a while. But I, can get sick really easily and I get tired really easily and shit that I wish I didn't. And I have to push weights all the time and work out, or I just completely regress in a day or two because I'm just not sturdy. And that's frustrating. Other weaknesses? I think I can be irritable, like particularly after COVID, I had some personality changes where I was more irritable, and I don't dig that. Yeah.
And what would you say are your wife's strengths?
She is sturdy, the exact, and that's why I sort of know I'm not as sturdy as she is. She's like superhuman, and that way, like just doesn't get sick, doesn't I just can. She's like the flux capacitor. You just
push it. Put whatever the fuck you want in. It's still going to work.
It all works beautifully. And it's like, and so.
Oh, that's great.
And I think, when you look at how our attractions work in our body as males, one of the things you're not aware of, you just like something. You just, do I want that? Mm-hmm. But I think one of my motivators around attraction where it was, that kind of genetic superiority because I was crazy attracted to her, like couldn't stand it. Didn't know that, that she was this specimen genetically. She has extraordinarily good – this is going to seem like a very specific thing, but capacity for sequences.
Explain that.
Like she can figure out or follow directions on a very complicated production panel and sound, and that's all about sequences. And then remembering the sequences and being able to adjust where you need to adjust within those sequences.
I see.
And absorbs and solves those kinds of problems really easily because I got a math brain, and her brother was a mathematician and one of our sons.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
A mathematician, so that kind of came through. She's way more beautiful than I am. She's too good for me.
I don't know. I hear all the girls call you Zaddy all the time. They throw that Z on the front of it, Dr. Drew. They call you Zaddy.
What does that mean? Am I a Zim? That made me a Zim too.
Maybe that's
what it's called. Zim, not Zaddy. Zay.
No, the ladies love you. You know it. You know the ladies love you, Dr. Drew.
So, yeah.
All right, here's another question I want to ask as a doctor who people look to for advice, opinions, and all that stuff. How do you learn from your mistakes?
Oh, constantly. This is what people don't understand. I look forward to mistakes. I look forward to being wrong. That's how my mind grows. That's how I learn things. The one thing though, when I was, I taught medicine for a lot of years, and the one thing I would tell them, I go, okay, we would be sitting in an ICU and I go, what are you going to do? Because I try not to bias their decision. I go, show me the literature.
Give me an example. Someone's
in septic shock and you want to use a certain antibiotic, or you want to go after the cytokine activation that you just learned about because of COVID. Show me the literature. Give me the literature upon which you're basing that judgment. I'll look at the literature. And I said, fine. And you make your decision. And if the literature is flawed and you didn't see it, you're going to hear from me. But I'll look at your literature and see what, you know, what you're making your decision on. Good, good. And then give me your logic and what you expect and what do you think is going to happen here. Now, this is where I got harsh. What if you're wrong? What if it doesn't work for whatever reason? What are you going to do? And if they would just look at me blank or I don't know, I would lose it. I said, I want to know your backup plan. No problem making a mistake. No problem. What's your backup plan? And the backup plan, you maybe need two or three. You better think that through and have that. When I ask you what you're going to do, you better be able to tell me and then tell me why. So I always kind of think that way. So I do have backup plans. And I don't mind making errors. I'm not going to be perfect. I'm not. There's no way.
Well, I watched everything with COVID and then you go, you own it right away.
Yes.
And people still going to say that shit.
You know,
let me ask you this. As frenetic as I see you, all these, do you work better under stress or do you
work better
calm?
Mm-hmm.
Or both? Because I'm feeling like everything. If I'm in ICU, I'm feel like, okay,
yeah,
you're assessing like
yeah,
this.
Yeah,
and I feel like after that, it's a slower process.
So here's I actually think I get a little high off spinning. Lots of stuff going on. But I hate the crunch of time. So I hate the idea that I'm spinning and going and going and, oh, shit, there's 10 more things coming down the pike and I have 20 minutes to do all of it. I hate that. If everything would fall into line with the schedule, the busier the better in the given unit of time that I have to do it. It's the stuff that comes pouring in. Like you just saw my phone going up.
Yeah.
That drives me crazy. I don't want to be bothered by other things when I've allotted some time to do something else. The fact that I'm, you know, have time set aside to do three things at once later, fine. That's then. I just don't want it coming in now. It bothers me when stuff bleeds in. It's tough. That's why it's tough to see outpatients in medicine because you got another one sitting outside every 15 minutes. I really don't like that. I like spending whatever time I need and then moving to the next thing.
What's been your favorite part of medicine?
I liked
the medical field.
I really was good in the ICU. I liked that stuff. I liked that.
Like blood doesn't gross you out.
No.
What's the craziest thing you've seen in an ICU?
Oh, I can't. It's like impossible to come up with it.
Do you ever save a motorcycle accident?
Save?
Yeah.
You mean like out in the field?
Anywhere. Usually many, those guys
many
are gone.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, we get them back. Yeah, I don't deal with the trauma. I deal with exotic medical illnesses and infections and, you know, crazy stuff. And, you know, it's kind of why I got into addiction medicine, you know, because what's that?
Exotic illness. That's what
I – Yeah, you want to know an exotic
out.
Illness?
Yeah, I mean, you know, are we talking about the Ebolas and things?
Yeah, or ALS and everything. It's interesting strokes, syndromes and stuff. But it's kind of why I got into addiction medicine was I was moonlighting a psychiatric hospital and I saw these – I started working on some of the cases and I saw these young people go from dying to like amazing. They were like, what? What happened to them? In medicine, generally, you go from like critically ill to chronically ill. You know what I mean? You're not better than you ever knew you could be. And so that's what got me fascinated by addiction in the first place. Like, wow, these people were dying and they can be beyond – not just better but better than ever. How incredible.
I the human body amazes me. I have friends who especially the opiates that were in comedy, you know, and these guys are telling me they're popping, you know, 25 a day. And I'm like, how? How does – I feel they, like if they, I took 25 Advil, my body halfway yeah. through would be like, fuck – and throw it up.
You're talking about Vicodin and Norco. So the average Vicodin and Norco
that
is
shit.
30 to 60 a day. That's the range they usually get into.
Get the fuck
yeah.
out of here.
Yeah. I've seen a guy do 100 a day.
100 a day. Mm-hmm. What, don't they not poop?
Some of them get into that problem, but they'll compensate with all kinds of laxatives and stuff. But he went deaf. He got what Rush Limbaugh got.
Took his hearing?
Yeah, he went completely deaf, like bone deaf. Really
so
bad.
Am I allergic to those? My reactions are I literally will sweat.
Mm-hmm.
I will throw up.
Mm-hmm.
I will get hives. I will get the itches.
Here's the great news. You don't have to worry about opiate addiction.
I hate it.
Right. I don't
my
like
my doctor's
it
got it on file. He's yeah. like, he wants to give them to me. I'm like, no,
yeah,
I'm not.
I
will sign a document refusing
but
to take
I actually,
opiates.
I'm so aversive to them that I'm a little jealous of my patients. They love them so much. They must be experiencing something very nice.
So is that an genetic?
Is that a genetic reaction? It's not, I mean, the itching and the formication.
That's the heroin and shit in there.
Yeah, it's sort of an allergy. technology. It's just an intolerance that people get from it. It's called formication, like ants crawling.
God, I fucking hate it. Yeah, I don't. I'm always the same way, but everyone's different with their stuff. What? All right, as a father, okay. Yeah. My daughter's 6 years old.
Okay.
All right. We're getting ready to go back to school one day a week, hopefully two at some point.
God bless.
I'd rather my daughter be a good friend than a good student. I would. I don't want her to be F's. And I don't think she will, because the other day she looked at me and she said, "Dad, I want to be the best student." And I was like, "That's what I'm talking about. Good. Now let's work on that. Good. We got to work on that. It doesn't just come to you."
Yeah.
So, you know, this homeschooling, I'm not qualified to homeschool. I should not be teaching children. No, well, these kids I can. I can't teach her what's going on there.
Yeah.
But I feel like kids are missing out on the hugs.
Oh, this is a mess.
The scene, you mean not going seeing to school? Someone get in trouble.
You understand that no other country on earth did this except America.
I didn't know that. Is that right?
The most stringent lockdowns I could find anywhere closed schools for 2 weeks. I mean, 2 months. I'm sorry.
And that's it?
That's it. It's the longest lockdown I could find in any country.
In the world.
That I could find. Now, maybe somebody can check me on that, but that's all I could find. And because they consider it an essential service, that you can't do that.
Yeah.
That
it's education.
It's education. It's the trajectory of the rest of their lives. We are seeing social phobias. Think about this. You're supposed to develop the skill of social interaction at school. You're not going to get that opportunity. And then we're going to tell you, stay away from everybody, 6 feet away from everybody. And if you go near, it's going to kill your grandmother. it's like you're nervous around everybody. The social phobia is awful. Yeah, I talked to a psychiatric colleague of mine who was a child psychiatrist. And so she's seeing a lot of 8 to 15-year-olds. I go, what are you seeing? And she goes, anxiety, depression, anxiety, depression, anxiety, depression, anxiety, depression. She goes, it's out of hand. It's unbelievable. Yeah, we have destroyed a generation. Well done. Well done. We will look at the school closure as the greatest misadventure, maybe of the century, but certainly of this particular pandemic.
Yeah.
Huge misadventure. Terrible.
Man, terrible. You know,
it's
this
disgusting what they've done.
It is terrible. I can't sit there and watch. You know, when Suicides I watch the kid up. Get in trouble at school, I was like, man, I don't want to feel like that fucking kid. Mm-hmm. I don't want that to happen. It would put me in check.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be these COVID kids that are going to be running around. They're going to be just, you know, probably pulling their dicks out and doing everything else.
That's already happening, and it's happening on the damn screens that they sent home with them.
Is it really on the screen? Up
150%. The sexting and stuff with like 8-year-olds and 9-year-olds using the very screens they sent home. Can you imagine this?
No. I mean, I can. God. I'm worried about it. I'm worried about everything. I've got a 17-year-old.
I know you got anxiety. It's good.
Yeah, we got anxiety. I talked to him like, you know, for us sexually, it was if you touched a girl over her sweater, if you touched a boob, you were
King
man. I'm the king of the world.
Yeah, yeah.
To get under a sweater, over a bra. You know, now it's fucking fisting.com and everything else right off the bat. And I'm trying to teach him like. We have a bigger issue because consent is everything.
Yeah.
But we have to teach our kids that consent is everything. However, you know, you got to ask if you can fist.
Well, I'm
you got to ask if you
I'm
can
I'm writing
choke.
A book on consent ask with
if
my
you
daughter.
Can spit in this girl's mouth.
I'm writing a book on consent with my daughter. It's coming out in September.
Are you really? Tell me about it.
I can't. I'm not allowed. It's sort of embargoed and stuff. But it's you know, we sort of condensed not condensed. We expanded the notion of consent to a lot of areas in relationships. And it's really kind of interesting when you start thinking about it and really thinking through what's necessary for healthy boundaries and appropriate kinds of consent requests. Kids are confused. And my kids, you know, my kids are in their late 20s. They're scared. They're scared. Their college years was me too. And they were like, I don't want to be seen as that.
Yeah,
I don't.
Right.
So they're afraid to act. They're afraid to sit, afraid to drink around a woman, you know, and then interact. Like you could be, it's very scary. Very crazy.
Let's take a quick break and tell you about our sponsor, MeUndies. MeUndies believes that comfort is about more than what's just touching your skin. It's all about feeling comfortable in your skin. You're a total badass, and what you wear should only accentuate that fact. That's why MeUndies not only uses a sustainable, breathable, soft-as-heck fabric, but they also give you endless styles to choose from. It's total comfort inside and out. I get the boxer briefs, man. I need something to keep it all up in there tight, hold it together, but I also don't like it riding up my ass crack. You know what I'm saying? I also don't like regular boxers because, look, I'm a little blessed and it swings. You know what I'm saying? So MeUndies offers classic colors to ridiculous prints. It's all so you can fully express yourself in your own unique way. MeUndies are available in a range of sizes from extra small all the way to 4XL. Never leave your couch again with a MeUndies membership and monthly subscription that sends new pairs right to your door. With site-wide savings and exclusive sales, you'll automatically pay less for everything. MeUndies has a great offer for you guys. For any first-time purchasers, you get 15% off and free shipping, all right? MeUndies also has their problem-free philosophy. If you're not satisfied with any product for any reason, they'll refund or exchange it. No caveats, no questions, all right? To get your 15% off your first order and free shipping, go to MeUndies.com/honeydew. That's MeUndies.com/honeydew. Our next sponsor is Skillshare. Skillshare is an online learning community that offers membership with meaning. With so much to explore, real projects to create, and the support of fellow creatives, Skillshare empowers you to accomplish real growth. Look, I love Skillshare. I'm able to take these classes. Something I've always wanted to do. My daughter's a picky eater. She doesn't eat a lot of different foods, varieties, and I want to introduce her to them. So I'm always throwing steamed shrimp out. I'm always throwing the crab out. She does love crab. I'm always throwing anything I make, the veggies, whatever, just to try to introduce her to new foods. And one of the things I wanted to do before the pandemic hit was take a cooking class with her so we could try new things. She could see the ingredients that go in the food. Like, look, you like all these things, but it's just in this thing over here now. So we started taking this class called Kids Kitchen Cooking from Scratch, and it's for kids under 5. And man, it's been fantastic. She loves it. I love it. We get to hang out, spend quality time together, and she's getting, you know, introduced to new foods. So practice makes progress. Advancing toward a goal is achievable with short lessons and hands-on projects. There's nothing better than getting better, all right? Accomplishing growth is extremely satisfying. So do something today you couldn't do yesterday with classes designed for real life. Skillshare is also incredibly affordable, especially when compared to pricey in-person classes and workshops. An annual subscription is less than $10 a month, all right? So explore your creativity at Skillshare.com/honeydew. Get a free trial of premium membership. All right, go try it out. You'll have fun. I'm telling you, what are you doing at home right now? That's Skillshare.com/honeydew. Now, let's get back to the do. So what do you think, give some advice to these kids out there now, parents of these teenagers right now. Like, what do you think, do you talk to a kid, especially a boy, because they're just such fucking horn dogs. Yeah. I mean, the girls these days, though, are like the new dudes. Good for you all,
ladies. But the boys still have...
The boys are just ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
So how do we...
I don't know what God was thinking when he gave that to 15-year-olds.
You already know your hormones when we were at 16.
Yeah. Although they are a little... For some reason, it's a little toned down a little bit. It's still all there, the same motivation.
But I'm saying, how do you stop that locomotive when they can just go right to the internet and see porn the way it is now?
How do you? Well, you be realistic about what they're getting access to and try to limit the screens. That's really all you can do. That's all you can do. And then talk to them about it, because we don't even know the impact. Forget on their sense of what is healthy sexuality and what a woman is. We don't know what it does to their brain. They're looking at this stuff at 9, 10, 11. I mean, if this were some random primate that we were exposing extraordinarily stimulating material to, would we be surprised if it affect their brain development? It's we don't know the full impact of all this yet.
Yeah, it's a lot coming. It's a lot coming.
Yeah, and I don't know. I'm very concerned about the mental health in this country.
I'm with you. I'm worried about the kids. I couldn't imagine if we had lost a summer of our lives, a year of our lives, in the prime of your life. You know, it'd be one thing over in the 80s. Like, I don't need 88. Fuck 88. But 9, 10.
Oh, yeah.
Man.
Yeah. So, I mean, how would you come back to Little League? How would you even do that? And you'd have a whole new set. Everyone's at different stages of development now. You didn't get the opportunity. Maybe your dad took you out and threw the ball around a couple times. You didn't play any games. How would you – just that simple thing.
I talked to a lot of people from this podcast who suffer depression as well, and you said suicide is up.
Up.
Really? What age range? Are we talking about everybody?
Everybody, but it's up in young teens and teens, and in particularly young females. But that's been coming for a while. It's just accelerated. I think the group that got most affected by this is 8 to 15 year olds. I think that's the group that is really going to be in trouble from this. And we have to, it's not just about getting their cognitive development back on and their social development back on track. It is their mental health has got to be dealt with. And, you know, that's not a parenting issue. That's a medical issue. And parents can be helpful, stable environments, attunement, you know, just be there, presence. They don't need a lot. They just need you present, fully emotionally, eye contact, you know, but here's some advice, you know, with the females. They're more conversant around 10 o'clock at night, 9 o'clock at night, because of the way their hormone cycling go. So if you have questions, open-ended questions, how'd your day go? Sit down in the bed, 9 o'clock at night.
At 9 o'clock.
Males, better, particularly if you're a male, side by side. Let's go shoot some baskets and then start talking.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
And driving a car, we were both looking forward. Two males are very uncomfortable eyeball to eyeball. And you're good, though. We're good right now.
I'm good with it. I took my stepson out on he was like, will you take me out to drive? And I was like, yeah, but I'm putting GoPros in the car.
Yeah.
And we're about to release it here in a little bit. It's called Learner's Permit. And it's him learning about driving, but learning about me learning about him learning about what it was like when I drove. Like
perfect environment for that.
When he's telling me, yeah, and we're just looking straight ahead.
Yeah.
And when he's telling me about smoking, I'm like, smoking what? And he's like, vapes. And I just laugh. I'm like, what a different fucking world we're in, you know, vapes.
Is he talking about weed or
he
tobacco?
Says he's tried the weed, but he doesn't like it. He doesn't smoke. He's not really drinking. He's a pretty straightforward kid, but these guys that don't drink, don't smoke, don't want to fuck a lot of people. So, you know, it's somewhere. There's something out there for everyone. So we got to keep an eye on. If you're not drinking or smoking or doing something, you might be fucking.
It's coming out somewhere.
It's coming out somewhere.
I just always think to myself, what was God thinking doing that to a 14-year-old? What was he thinking?
Oh my God.
And when, you know, some of my favorite patients are my transgender female to males who get exposed to high-dose testosterone for the first time, usually one of their first sort of reactions is to apologize. Like, I'm sorry, I didn't know.
How powerful that
what
shit
the,
is.
What the influence is you've been under all this time. And it's like, yeah, and usually what I say is, yeah, started when we were 13.
Yeah.
How do you think that felt?
When you're just a walking erection.
You have no idea what to do or what's going on.
No.
It's just completely.
I mean, I'll be straight honest. I was in fifth. It was the summer between fifth and sixth grade when I discovered masturbating. I was on the top bunk. My little brother at the time, my mom thought it'd be a good idea to put me and my younger brother in a room and my twin brother in his own room, and quickly realized I should keep the two that are going through the same shit in the same room. But I didn't even know what masturbation was.
Right,
I was just laying
in
bed.
I remember in the sex education courses in the 70s, I couldn't understand the difference between menstruation and masturbation. There were two M words. That's all I could figure out.
But I laid on my back, and I just was touching it, flicking it,
yeah.
And all of a sudden this thing happened. Yeah. And I was like, oh, my God.
I broke it.
I was scared, changed. But it was amazing.
Yeah.
And then it was every fucking night till I was 48 years old.
until every night until today's Friday.
It's Thursday night. And I mean, to this day, it is a foolproof sleep aid for me. If I can't get to sleep, I'm knocking one out and I'm done.
Yep.
I go back to the spank bank or whatever. Boom. I've been fortunate enough to have some good memories. But it dawned on me. I was in seventh grade. Between fifth and sixth, I do it. And I'm just doing this thing where I'm just sort of laying down and catpawing the fucking thing. I'm not talking to anyone about it. I'm not telling anyone.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just playing with my own body.
Yeah.
And I know that like after an hour, something happens. That's it. Yes. And I fucking love it. And then one day, I will never forget this. I'm not even part of the conversation. I'm standing in line waiting to get into like math class. It's seventh grade. And I see these two guys that I knew talking to one another, and one of them says something, the other one goes, oh, ho, ho, and he does this, and I, not even in the conversation, from the back of the line, I see the grip, and I think, oh my God,
that's it.
I can't wait to fucking get home.
Eureka!
And that was the day I changed the grip on my dick. I remember it so vividly. It's all they'll be like, why am I not grabbing it like that? Oh my God. But again, embarrassed to ask anyone.
Of course.
And there was no jerkoff.com I could go look at. You know, now you can get a tutorial on how to make a woman squirt, how to get blowjobs, all of it. Anything.
Their average age of exposure is like age 10, 11. It's crazy.
10 or 11.
Yeah.
It's so easy to get.
Well, if your kid's on screen, assume they're getting exposed to it.
Yes.
It just
Well, my daughter was playing this damn Garfield game on, and I watch, and they do these.
Told me about this.
Yeah, they do these ads in between, and it's a girl that walks in. And there's her friend and her boyfriend are in a shower silhouette, and it's like, what would you do? I'm like, what the fuck? What is this? I'll pay the dollar to get rid of these ads. God damn.
I think that's in there. How they set it up.
How do you when you grew up? Who did you talk to about sex?
Nobody.
Your parents never sat you down.
No.
Nothing. Was it taboo, or was it just
Figured out on your own. Okay. I didn't feel any pressure or energy negatively. I had a babysitter actually. Now I think about it. She was like a 25-year-old. Teachers. I mean, I was like, you're gonna explain things to me. She's like, no, that's for your parents. I go, explain.
How old were you at the time? Teens?
Early teens.
Yeah.
12, 14.
And she, did she tell you?
Yeah, she was pretty good about it. And it was very matter of fact and whatever. And it was like, I'd forgotten
about
this.
You put her on the spot?
I didn't put her on the spot. I drilled. I was like, we are not going to, this is, I'm going to say you rape me. No. No, it was good. That was at least where I got some information, you know. But it's kind of why we're one of the things that motivated to do Loveline, that there was no sort of place for people to go. And at that point, it was urgent because we had HIV going around.
Right.
And I was listening to Dr. Anthony Fauci at the time, who was encouraging us young guys to go out there and educate. And I admired him a lot in 1984 and took
Fauci's
it very seriously.
Been around a long time,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah. He was a big deal during the AIDS epidemic. Yeah. And so I started just answering questions. I had also had a really terrible experience in college when I started getting depression and anxiety in terms of how I was managed and treated and stuff. It was really bad. And there was no adolescent health at that time. And there was weird stigma around mental health. And I just thought, that's insane. And then it's pretty easy to understand these things. And infectious disease, sexually transmitted diseases were shrouded in Latin, and they're called venereal diseases. And yeast infections were called manilliasis. And it was just like unnecessary. And I just thought, these are easy concepts. Anybody can understand it. I'm going to answer these kids' questions, and that's it.
Yeah, because it is. It's frightening as fuck to see, if you see something on your body that's not usually there, you get scared. Everything's scared.
Sure. And it's you may not know what it is because you have no clinical experience with it, but once you get a diagnosis, to explain to somebody, here's what that is, here's how to avoid it, here's what you need to do with it, it makes it all very simple. And now there's Google, and they don't need me so much.
I say it all the time. You don't need parents. You got the internet. You have the internet. You can go out there and ask anything. But I do wish I had the internet when I was a kid. I would have absolutely known more than I – the internet put us all back 10 years.
Yeah.
And you realize the information age hits and you're like, God.
Yeah. And so there are, I think, advantages. You're right. And there would have been definitely distinct positive things that could have come of it and will come of it. But we has all sorts of liabilities that we're trying to manage and understand now still. So good times, my friend.
Dr. Drew, give me a time that, how old were you when you got when you were finally exclusive? What age?
Exclusive.
With your wife. Because you said you knew each other
for
a while.
Oh, we dated for like 8 years before we we were exclusive for periods of time up to a year or two within that 8 years. Okay. And then we'd sort of break up. And
I see. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And at the end, it was like, okay, this is like – there's something here. This is like ridiculous. I can't shake
this. But it took
8 years.
You couldn't shake it.
Well, the 8 years was not about her. I knew that there was something there with her. The 8 years was me being just – men have this thing where they, when they're not ready to get married, they are not ready. And and she was ready and sort of forcing the issue, and that's what would break us up oftentimes.
And, what shifted for you?
I got old enough. I finished my training, was sort of out in the world. I just wanted to know who I was in the world before I could make a big decision like marriage. And I was ready. I was just ready. It was just different. And if we had we done it earlier, it would have been fatal. It would have been absolutely, you know, asking what makes a long marriage. You got to be ready. It's not just about the person. It's about being ready where you are in your life.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very important. Mm. Well, look, I know we got to get you out of here. You got to get all the way over to Pasadena.
I'm sorry it's I scheduled okay. this. I've been doing this local news broadcast on Fox 11, which is not Fox News. it's the Simpsons, Family Guy, that Fox. And it's right over here on Bundy, you know. And I thought, oh, it's perfect. I'll see Ryan. I'll go.
Yeah, 1999 South Bundy. Yeah, I know exactly. Well, I used to work in that building. It's where I met my daughter's mother, in that building, Dr.
Wow,
Dre.
That's crazy.
How about that? Across from Lamps Unlimited or
that's
whatever.
It. That's it.
That's where we met.
That's the building, right? On Armacost or whatever it is.
Yeah, that's exactly where we met.
What's that? I can't remember the name of the street, but it. I thought, you know, I'll head right up there after Sickler. And then it's like, oh, no. Because I got back from New York a week and a half ago or a week ago, they're making me not come back to the building for 10 days. Not sure. It's silly. I'm immune. I've had COVID, but I get it. It's the policy. So here we are.
Well, thank you for being on. Again, website, drop it, all that.
Yeah, drdrew.com. If you sign up at drdrew.tv, we'll give you a blast out when I do streaming shows, which I do on most days.
All right.
And After Dark, which you've kindly been on and will be on again, no doubt.
I'd love to.
So it's a lot of fun working with those guys.
I know. They're the best. Well, thank you, man. As always, ryansickler.com. Ryan Sickler on all social media. We'll talk to y'all next week.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.